Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger Maz, again with the Seaport Hotel and the Christmas in the City wreath auction. More on that coming up. Mystery guest has checked in, said he'll be here in 5 to 10 minutes. So, I mean, he's not going to be here. He's on the phone. Okay? So we'll see if that comes through. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm going to hold my breath and turn blue like Nick Cattles.
In the meantime, we will continue with your calls on whatever you want. Fred and A are on the Celts and Jaylen Brown. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey. Yes. Yes.
You're on the, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I hear you. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Go.
Yeah. Okay. So Jaylen Brown was drafted number one by the Celtics. Gave him a lot of confidence. In his wildest dreams, he never dreamed that he would be drafted by the Celtics number one. And so that's one big plus for him. Number two, he just signed a contract for $100 million. Never dreamed he would do something like that, even though he held out just a little bit.
Fred, your phone's just not good enough. But hopefully what he's driving at is it was a reach for the Celtics to take Brown at three. He's someone that I don't know if he ever felt it was a guarantee that he's going to be a $100 million NBA basketball player. Sort of the thing you were talking about before, which is he's coming from lower, has to work harder to get to this level, was not thought by everybody to be this kind of player, as opposed to Tatum, who for the last 5 years has been considered – going into the year before, Duke, wasn't he considered a number one overall pick?
Yeah.
I mean and look, he ended up being three. So it's like, so Tatum's always been the man, and the Duke sort of entitlement culture, like, I think you have a better chance with Brown's intangibles than Tatum's intangibles.
Yeah, look, that's a huge factor. I mean, again, I call it a variable. It's a huge factor. So I want to go back and look. My recollection is that when Tatum went to Duke, I think the top player in the country was a kid named Giles, who's now at Sacramento. But he had a knee injury, but he was highly, highly touted going into college. And, you know, he and Tatum are in the same class, but Tatum was in that group. And then as it turned out, Tatum ended up having the better year, and he was a guy that was on everybody's radar. And Ainge said, you know, has told us, told everyone that they would have taken Tatum number one if they had the number one pick. So Brown went to Cal. I mean, it's a big difference,
sure, right?
That's a big difference. And so I do think there is something to be said for that guy who's got a fight. Like, there is a drive there that you like. And the fact that he's improved as much as he had or has should open your eyes.
We've got a Patriots call on the board here. Kevin in the car. Yes, Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, Felger, you and Maserati, I think, are daffy. And I think that Murray hit it on – I think he's right on line. I think that – I want to know if your opinion is going to change with them guaranteed going to the AFC Championship game. If they get throttled this weekend or forget getting throttled, they put up 14 or 8 or 17 points and they lose by two scores. Is your opinion going to change at that point?
No. If they're home for the divisional game, I have them in the AFC title game, Kevin.
I don't think Buffalo's a guarantee like you do.
So the only way my mind will change, and thanks for the call, is if somehow Buffalo nips you for the division, which is just so, I think that's preposterous. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, as much as I don't believe in the Patriots right now after last week, I still don't see that happening.
Okay. But if that happens, and now you're on the road wild card weekend, and you're on the road divisional weekend.
Oh, welcome to Porktown.
Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, no shot.
Welcome to the rest of the world and how they live, and I would get off my horse. But as long as you are off for 2 weeks after week 17, home divisional game, one off to go to the Super Bowl, you're still going to the Super Bowl.
So, I don't know why the caller thinks I'm in fantasy land. I think this week is huge for clarifying the Patriots' identity. huge. So if they get schwacked on Sunday in Foxborough, will my opinion of what they are change? Yes. Yes.
I'll feel worse, but I'm not going to come off it. I learned my lesson last year. Now,
last year was a fluke.
Yeah, last year they were healthy. They actually found their offense at the end of the year, and they had Gronk in it.
So fluke is wrong word. Because nothing with the Patriots is a fluke. It was an aberration.
Murray, last year they found their offense in week 16. We still have 2 weeks to go until we reach that point this year.
Yeah, they had an actual offensive line last year. They did.
You didn't say that in week 15 when they lost in Pittsburgh.
I was wrong last year.
I know we all were. I mean, I'm not
wrong this year.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, you know, I've taken the cheese on that before. I'm not taking the cheese this
year. But remember, they caught a break last year, too. They got a bye at 11-5. Okay, they got a bye at 11-5. I don't think that's going to happen this time through. So they did catch a break. I just think last year was an aberration. I'm not telling you. I would never discount the Patriots. I don't know how you could. But last year, that's not the best blueprint for them to win it.
Ryan in Quincy has a thought Celtics-wise. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I have to admit, I caught the tail end of your Jalen Tatum debate. But just speaking of intangibles, I know the Tatum, the Duke softy thing, but there's a reason that Brad will trust Tatum to close games going back to last year, even when he's shooting poorly. It's because he defensively plays the right way, night in and night out.
Defensively
makes. Yeah, look at his metrics. They're outstanding. He literally is in the right spot consistently. That's probably the biggest plus to his game. When people consider him like a true scorer, he's more like a Paul George type player more than a Carmelo Anthony, just straight look at his scoring average.
Okay, Brian, Jaylen, I'm not familiar with his defensive metrics, but the reason he goes to him at the end of games is because he's got a better shot and a more polished offensive game.
Correct. And the other thing is I would say when there's a good offensive player on the other team, who guards him?
Not him.
It's usually Smart or Brown.
Yeah.
So look, you want to tell me that Tatum functions in the team environment? I mean, I'm not astute enough in that one to give it to you. Okay, I don't know where everybody's supposed to be the whole time. So I'm just not smart enough on that one and experienced enough on that one. What I will say is, given the athlete that Tatum is, he should be a better one-on-one defender than he is. And he should be – his rebounding's improving, which I'm happy to see. It feels like he's starting to learn the flow of the game at the offensive end. But I think he's one of these guys because he's so polished offensively that his entire game has been scoring up to now. Now they're in the NBA, and he's got to impact the game in other ways, and he's got to learn that. If he doesn't, he's just going to be another guy who scores.
David in Florida. Hi, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I definitely agree with you that Kyrie leaving has helped the development of Brown. However, I think the other thing to keep in mind is that Brown is getting major playing time now. Unlike the last 2 years where he had Morris, Hayward, Tatum in front of him battling for two spots, which in my opinion stunted his development, the fact that he's playing more consistently I think is helping tremendously. And the same argument you could argue could be made for the Patriots receivers. Yes, they're nothing special now, yet the more they play, and yes, there will be growing pains, but theoretically the better they should get. An argument you, Felger, have made the past few days. So,
oh, yeah. David, thanks for the call. For that to be really happening, the quarterback has to look at them and throw them the ball and not take off his pants and take a steaming dump on them every time they run the wrong route. So it would be nice if the quarterback was on board with their development as opposed to dumping on him every chance he gets.
He just didn't have the patience for it, which, again, comes into the long term versus the short and how long is he even here. So he has had zero patience with the whole thing.
So conceptually, yes, I'm with you. But it'd be nice if, you know, the quarterback, N'Keal Harry made a sort of a weak move on that interception, and Brady didn't look at them the rest of the game. That was it. Night was over. Over. Does that help his development?
No.
So what are we talking about?
No, in fact, how many times do you see it in a game where you say, guy makes a mistake, what did they do? They went right back to him.
Right.
Right? They didn't do that in this game.
On the Celtics, we still, the caveat, and I don't, Jimmy, I don't know where your sample is now, but it can really kiss the underside of my ass. We still haven't seen Tatum, Brown, and Gordon Hayward, all three together.
60 minutes.
60 minutes.
Plus
seriously.
21.5.
No, 60 minutes. In 3 years, they played 60 minutes together.
No, that's this year.
We've done more than that today.
So I'm not even talking about them on the floor at the same time. I don't mind them on the floor at the same time. I think that's actually how it does work, is that they're all on the floor at the same time. I haven't seen it work where two on, one off, two on, one off, two on, one off. Who's the guy on the bench getting the reduced minutes? They still haven't proven that thing yet. So let's see. That's still the old caveat to this whole Celtics thing. I'm sorry, it is. Here's your giveaway. Because we're going to break now and Clay's mystery guest decides to show up here.
Yeah, I know. this is going well.
We'll get the commercial break out of the way.
They're going to call us a little while and says he's calling at 3 tomorrow.
Ticket weasel trying to use those little paws to dial.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a call on the line. There's a call on the line. Let me do the giveaway. Billy, can you do that? Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card for Newbury Comics. Find a store near you at newburycomics.com for a wicked good time. Again, Tony and I will be at the Newbury Comics in Natick at the Natick Mall Saturday from 1 to 3 collecting donations, monetary and unwrapped toys for Christmas in the city. Okay, here's what we want to talk about right now. You know, we follow the heavyweight division when it comes to boxing.
Correct.
And we've become big fans of Deontay Wilder, and we're invested in his career and this great sort of mix right now at the heavyweight division. And we're looking forward to Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury, the rematch coming up February 22nd in Vegas. Yesterday, Tyson Fury posted, I'm going to call it a workout video. He was just sort of like shadow boxing, I guess, in his living room or something, or someone's living room. And he posted this to his Instagram page, and we'll play you the sound, and then I'll tell you what he said. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'm training here. Wilder, sucker. Pop, pop. Don't be sleeping on me, boy. Because you can't eat when you can't see. Come finish me last time. Pop, 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 boom. Boom. Whoa. Pop, pop. Hey, hey. Hey, hey. Yep. Pop, pop, pop. This is what you call.
Okay, so that was Tyson Fury. In case you couldn't hear it, I'm training here, Wilder, he said, you sucker. You can't say about me, boy. You can't hurt what you can't see, pussy. Okay, it was a word he used, and I thought we were allowed to use that word, Jimmy. Just, am I?
We are now.
Yeah.
He said, don't sleep on me, boy. Because you can't hit what you can't see. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is the heavyweight champion of the world, WBC belt holder, Deontay Wilder. Deontay, thanks for taking the time. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here at any time. No problem.
Okay, we appreciate you joining us. I'm sure you've heard that Tyson Fury Instagram and what he said there. What's your reaction to it?
Well, you know, that just let me know that he's thinking about the fight and he's keeping his mind, you know, on the fight. I'm glad that he got his mind on the fight. He's gonna need it. I hope he saved his energy. He's gonna need every bit of that because it's gonna be a warm hospital bed waiting on him.
Deontay, so he called your boy there a couple of times, which I don't know how he meant it or how you took that. So you can comment on that if you want. But he definitely said pussy. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, I don't take heed to none of it. It's all talk. At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? February 22nd is doom day for him. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm so close to accomplishing my goals and dreams. And I can't wait. I can't wait to share my energy in the ring come February.
So there's, you know, there's pre-fight hype and pre-fight talk. Do you think that what he said yesterday crossed any lines?
Not for me. It's nothing that he can say can cross the line for me. You know, my mind is already made up what I'm going to do on the night of the fight. And I can't wait to display Montana amongst the thousands that's going to be in the arena and the millions that's going to be watching. So, you know, he can do what he wants, say what he please. You know, it's freedom of speech. He have the right to. But his action, he will have to suffer the consequences behind his action.
That's so, what Deontay, I'm sorry, we spoke with you actually out at the Super Bowl last year, and since then I know you fought Luis Ortiz here within the last couple of weeks, knocked him out. I want to ask you just a quick question before I ask you what I really want to get to, which is, are you at all a fan of the sport? And when I say that, you know, did you watch it as a kid? Did you watch other fighters historically?
Well, where I came from, it was all about football. Basketball. I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So, you know, as a child, that's all we saw. And even as I grew up, that was my goal, to become a football player, play for the Alabama Crimson Tide, things like that. But, you know, along in my adult life, things has changed. You know, we didn't get an opportunity too much younger to see, you know, different things, to see boxing, you know. I'm a pastor kid, and there's a lot of things going on in the house. You know, we were sheltered from a lot of things. And, you know, I rarely ever saw boxing, you know, in different events that was occurring in boxing. So, you know, a lot of things, especially when you're dealing with the history, you know, yeah, I had to go back up on and look up certain things and certain fights and certain history of it. You would see it come on, you know, on TV, classic fights or different things like that. So, yeah. You know, I'm not one of those guys that was privileged to be able to box at a young age and know different things about boxing as a younger age. My lifestyle, it all was different.
So this is the reason I ask you, because, you know, anybody that's ever had any interest in boxing has seen that, you know, there was a thing on ESPN years ago. It still is. Mike Tyson's Greatest Hits. And after the fight with Ortiz, whom you knocked out in the 7th round, my question to you is, have you ever hit a guy harder than you hit Ortiz to knock him out?
I hit Ortiz pretty hard there. Man, the way it looked, it was amazing to see that his face and his hair was wet. And when I hit it, it's like all just dried in an instant. It was amazing. but... You know, I had to go off of that knockout. I had to look at my knockout I had against a guy by the name of Arthur Spilker. And I really thought I killed Spilker for 3 to 5 seconds because he wasn't breathing. You know, it wasn't no deflated, inflated of chest, you know, where we see where he was inhaling or exhaling with his breath. And I really thought I killed him. And his girlfriend came over and she said, Arthur! It was like a real movie was going on, and when Arthur heard his girlfriend wake, it's like his eyes just cracked open, and I was like, "Oh, there he is," you know. And and I think that one was the hardest. I'm not sipping away. You know, things was looking and stuff. I can tell you the feeling. You know, the structure of that bone, the structure of the bones in that face to my fist. I can tell you that it was two different feelings. For sure, you know, with Spilker hitting him, it felt like I was cutting a slice of hard cheese. with Ortiz, I didn't feel nothing at all. So it was two big difference in that knockout. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to be an artist at what you do. You know, I'm an artist at knocking guys out, and just to have the experience of the different feels of when you hit a man and then his body on the canvas. You know, it sounds crazy, but it's amazing.
Sorry, it's Deontay Wilder, the heavyweight champion of the world WBC title belt holder. So, you know, Baziel didn't fare too well with you either, Deontay. That was a pretty devastating knockout as well. But outside of that fight, and this is what I want to ask you, we're fans of you, we're supporters of you, I'm rooting for you in this fight in the heavyweight division, but I got to be honest with you, I've gotten a little concerned with some of your recent fights. You were behind Ortiz here when you knocked him out. You were behind Fury when you knocked him down in the last round. You were behind Ortiz the first time you fought him. I think 3 of your last 4 fights, Deontay, you've been down in the first 4 or 5 rounds, maybe more. And what do you think's going on there? Have you gotten more conservative as you've gotten older here? Are you feeling guys out? Am I wrong about that?
You know, I'm a type of guy of patience. I plan, I set up, I do all the calculate, you know, my opponents. You know, I see so much in the ring. And with a guy like me and my talent and my power, it's like, who's counting rounds? You know, not me. You know, when you have a devastating knockout, you're not worried about losing or winning rounds. It's a 12-round fight in my eyes, in my head. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking forward to 36 minutes. And so I'm allowing my opponent to enjoy every bit of the minutes and the seconds that's rolling off of that clock. Because like I always say, I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. And when it comes, bam, baby, good night. Cannot blink with Deontay Wilder. You have to be perfect for 12 rounds. I only have to be perfect for 2 seconds.
Can you afford to do that against Fury again? Because you know he wants to go the distance again, and he wants to box, and he doesn't want that thing. You would have lost the last time if you hadn't knocked him down at the end of that last round. Can you afford to do that again?
I can do whatever I want, you know. I can definitely do that as well, again as well. You're going to get hit in 36 minutes. You're going to get hit, you know, no matter what. And at the end of the day, it's all about what the judges say. When I go back and look at a lot of these fights, I go back and question. I like, what, you know, a lot of people say I lost this, I lost that, but where? You know, a lot of fights, I like, where you see me losing rounds at? Where? I have this stuff I block. A lot of stuff I block. I never get credit. I never get credit at nothing I do, you know. And because people always, you know, I've had to memorize about knocking guys, people out every time. So when people see me fight, they look past the skills and the intellect that I have in the ring, because you have to have skill to be able to even set a guy up to even hit him. Power is just a perk that comes behind that skill. I have to be able to understand eye coordination, understand angling, body positioning, to be able to throw the perfect punch, to be able to land. If you don't have all that down pat, you're not going to be able to hit nothing or do nothing. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy with my style and my skill that I have. And I'm not worried about any of these guys. These other guys, they have to worry about me at the end of the day. They have to worry. They have to stay perfect defense, offense at all times. I don't. And it's a blessing for me, you know. Again, like I said, when I go back and look at things, I don't see me losing, you know, the rounds like that. It'd be very close in these different rounds and different things like that. But you know, that's what makes it exciting and make boxing exciting, the styles that we have. And I'm very happy with the style that I have and I display.
So, Deontay, again, quickly before we let you go, the last time we spoke with you, you and Joshua were both undefeated. He has since lost. And there was a great deal of hype about you meeting Joshua at some point. Is he at all on your radar anymore, or do you have bigger fish to fry?
And quickly, Deontay, who do you like, Joshua Ruiz on Saturday, the rematch?
Joshua Ruiz, I'm going with Ruiz. I think it benefits me better. You know, Ruiz is in my stable, you know, and with Joshua, he's mentally weak, and he's not getting up out of that stage, you know, and it's a concerning feeling to me as to look at him. And, you know, a lot of other people are seeing the same thing. So I don't know what's going to happen with Joshua, especially after he loses this fight. I just don't – mentally, I don't think he's going to be prepared and ready. You know, even if he wins mentally, I don't think he's ready for this position. You know, they put him on a high standard coming out. Many times the kid said he don't – you know, he's still learning. He's not trying to rush and steal his handlers. And, you know, and you got to blame him on his country as well, too. You know, they put so much into him. They bigged him up so much. And the guy wasn't even ready for the spot. He wasn't ready for that position. And he tried to tell him. And now – you know, it just seems like he's going crazy. It seems like, I don't know, you know. It's a lot going on just reading on the outside, looking in, and from a position that a guy never wanted to be in the first place, but were pressured. So for that reason, you know, I see Ruiz. Ruiz knocked him down 4 times. In my opinion, he quit. And when you do that, you're going to be fighting your demons the next time around because you quit. You know, you gave up. And you surrender. You throw it in the white flag. So there'll always be demons in the fight with him, and it's going to be that way come Saturday night because Ruiz was the man to put him on his ground and do the things that he did. So it's going to be a very, very interesting fight while it lasts, but I'm looking for Ruiz to be the victor.
Deontay Wilder, thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck on the 22nd. We'll see you out in Vegas. Spare a few minutes for us when we get out there in February, all right?
My man, thank you guys so much. And love, peace, and God bless.
There's a heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. So he did come through finally.
Oh, it took a while, but we made it happen.
I love that guy. He was on his way to losing 3 of his last 4 fights.
Totally.
So if he wants to dink around like that with Fury, this time he's going to lose.
I'll tell you what, I looked up that knockout of
Brazil?
Arthur Spica.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He almost knocked that guy's head off. Like, seriously, you should Google it. It's unbelievable.
All right. We're way behind. Quick break, then we're back with you.
Got to get this straight. Don't forget. Felger.
Yeah.
Say it. Felger.
Felger.
Maz.
Maz.
Murray.
Murray. Felger, Maz, Murray.
So when you get the fight with Joshua, we're going to call you, and you tell your manager, whoever it is, say, when Felger or Maz call you, let me know you're going to come on.
All right. Sounds good.
Boston's home for sports. Felger.
Hey, it's...
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
And what do you want for Christmas?
Help Felger and Maz brighten a child's Christmas. Live from the Seaport Hotel, collecting donations for Christmas in the City, sponsored by DNN Van Lines on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, back here at the Seaport, Felger and Maz with your calls. We did quite a bit of Tatum and Brown talk to lead off the show. A lot of calls on the board there. Patriots, as always. Fred in Chicago wants to weigh in quickly on Deontay Wilder. Go ahead, Fred.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. Mike, I respectfully disagree with you factually on one point you had made about Wilder's having been on his way to losing three of his last four fights. And I want to specifically focus on the first Luis Ortiz fight. Yep. The fight was stopped at 2 minutes 5 seconds of round 10. At the time of that stoppage, judges Glenn Feldman, Kevin Morgan, and Carlos Ortiz Jr. all had the bout scored 85-84 in favor of Wilder. Right. So I just respectfully disagree factually on that point with you.
Very good. I read that too yesterday, Fred. I looked that up because I wanted to see. The ringside judges had Wilder up by one round. The Showtime judges... which doesn't mean anything. These are just the TV judges.
Right.
But and I'm not even sure if Letterman was still alive or who was doing it. But whoever the ring doc, you know, the ringside guys were, they had Ortiz ahead by several rounds.
Yeah.
So technically, Wilder, that first Ortiz fight might have been ahead. I don't know. I think he's just he was down the first handful of rounds in that first Ortiz fight. I feel like he's gotten a little. What I love about Deontay Wilder, he's just lethal, and he's just so powerful. And I've watched a lot of his recent fights, and I'm screaming at the TV. I'm saying, would you box? Throw. When are you going to start throwing, man? And the next thing you know, he's down three, four, five rounds, and he needs to knock you out to win, and he keeps doing it. And it only earned him a draw against Fury the first time. He should have lost that Fury fight. I don't think he won that fight.
Did he knock him down twice?
Twice. Knocked him down twice, and the last one was, I think he won that last round 10-8. Or maybe you always do when you get a knockdown. Maybe that was it. But either way, that one, the knockdown, you know, Fury got up at 9.5. He was knocked out cold and then just barely made it. And so Wilder, you know, won that last round definitively. But Fury's going to want to dance around and not get hit, which bugs the crap out of me. And if Deontay screws around and doesn't knock him out, he will lose on points because Fury's a more technical boxer.
Oh, he will definitely lose on points. I mean, with him, it's all or nothing. He either knocks you into next week or he's going to lose if he fights anyone with any kind of skill.
Well, I love that stuff on Anthony Joshua, though, huh?
He's mentally weak.
Not a big fan of him.
I'll tell you what, though. I think he's right. I think Joshua's got a soft jaw. Soft.
Here is Junior in Brockton on the Celtics. Go ahead, Junior.
Yeah, how you doing, buddy? I was going to say, Fury, he definitely had that fight until he got knocked down. But on the Celtics, on the trade, basically, Danny Ainge needs to stop BSing. We need a big man, all right? We're done with all these point guards and forwards. We need to think about it. Kemba Walker, Towns, and Tatum together. That's what we need to do. And we need to get rid of Brady.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, that last part we can save for another time. Why are you so obsessed with the big man, too, yourself, Miss?
I think especially, you know, on the defensive end, you need a guy who's got some sort of presence in there. Now, look, if you've got great wing players, then fine. I mean, you can win with just a guy who'll play defense, and that can work. But if you don't have great wing players, and again, great wing players, not good wing players, great wing players, then you have to be able to control the paint. And there just aren't that many big guys in the league.
I don't know. I think the recent trend that has definitely not been the position that you won with.
Well, but the wing players that dominate the league are great wing players. Great. Is Jason Tatum great? Is Jaylen Brown great? Are they going to be great?
They have a chance to be great.
Okay, but we're talking about Kawhi, yeah, LeBron, I mean,
Kawhi,
Kobe. These are the guys that dominate the league.
Okay, Kawhi was drafted 15th. No one thought he was going to be that guy.
Agreed.
So it took time, and they stuck with it, and the next thing you know, he's that guy.
But the point is, that's what you need on the wing. You need a guy to dominate the game.
Yes.
And I don't know that they have that player.
Jamie in Massachusetts wants to weigh in on the Bruins quickly. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hey, boys. Thank you for having me. I just want to hear your thoughts on the start. 23-5. It's been unbelievable. This home ice advantage, you know, where was it in the finals last year? But, hey, it's been great. Do you think that this is going to be sustainable for the season? I'm
no,
a little worried.
I hope
about
not.
It.
Probably
so,
not.
I mean, but, I mean, can they go on a run and contend for the cup? Yes. Yes, they should. At this point, I'm now in that camp where I'll be disappointed if they don't make at least a conference final or go on a real run. Okay? So they've proven to me they're not going to be hungover or, in other words...
I think you said for a while they'll get back to me after two rounds.
Yeah, okay.
That's kind of how I feel.
But if they lose in the first or second round, I'll be disappointed.
Major disappointment.
I mean, but again, it depends who they're facing. If Tampa gets their act together and you're losing to Tampa in the second... I don't know, get back to me, but... My expectation.
No, it doesn't. If they continue to be a wagon, no, they can't lose in the first round, no matter who they're going to end up playing.
Well, they're not going to. Well, okay, fair enough. Fine. I mean,
I think right now in Vegas, they're the favorite to win the cup.
I was looking at this year as a lost season. No way. Last year was their crack. Last year was their window. They'll never get another chance again. And now I've changed my mind on that. If they're going to look this good and be this ready and apparently be this motivated, then fine. Let's go on another run. That's not my expectation. The thing about keeping this up all season, if you care. Are they going to have three regulation losses? They'll be on the pace to lose three regulation games out of 25 or whatever it's been all season long?
I'll say the same thing I said when the caller asked if it was sustainable. I hope not.
No way. What, they're going to get behind one or two goals every game and then score three in the third every game to have three losses in their first 30 games or whatever it is? No, that's not sustainable.
I don't want them to win 55, 60 games. I don't. I don't want it to be that easy. Again, I you know, this is like the paranoia in me now. What do you want him to be, Tampa again? Like Tampa was last year? That all of a sudden you go through the regular season, you win 60 games, you have a historic regular season, then you get in and you get absolutely smashed in the face in the first round, you don't win a postseason game? I don't want that. I would rather them be taxed a little bit and then get to the postseason and be pissed off about it. Like, that's what I would rather have. I want some resistance.
617-779-0985. Thoughts on the Celtics, thoughts on the Patriots. A little Bruins action there if you want it. We're going to get to Tom Brady on that interview last night on the E! Network, which I didn't mind. I didn't mind. We're going to get to that and more of your calls right after these words.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at ApexEntertainment.com.
Doing their part to help out Santa.
You just try and think of yourself as one of Santa's little helpers.
Felger and Maz are live at the Seaport Hotel for Christmas in the City, sponsored by DNN Van Lines on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back. We are Felger and Maz coming to you from the Seaport Hotel in advance of the annual Christmas in the City wreath auction. That's just what they call with their annual fundraiser, where they raise funds for their tremendous cause of providing Christmas to kids in the city here who don't normally have Christmas. And it's scary to think that that exists, but it certainly does exist. And Jake and Sparky Kennedy have been doing this now for 30 years, and they're joining us here on set at the Seaport. Jake and Sparky Kennedy, guys, thanks for taking the time. How are you guys doing?
Thank you for having us. This is fantastic.
Jake, congratulations. 30 freaking years, man.
Yeah.
We started when our girl was 3 years old.
Well, our daughter started. We started. We had two children, and we started in 1989.
Well, I told the story quickly to begin, and just tell me if I have it right, that basically 1 year you said, we're not sure our kids are really understanding what Christmas is about, and so you sort of made them understand what Christmas was about by just raising toys for some kids in your neighborhood who were disaffected, or what?
So we just had a water jug in Kennedy Brothers Physical Therapy, and people filled it up. We got gifts, and we just called shelters, the local shelters in Boston, and had the party at City Hall, and there were 165 kids there the first day. And we wanted to show our two children at the time that what Christmas was all about. So we didn't want aunts and uncles giving them too many gifts, and so for them to understand.
So you said 165 kids the first one?
First one, yeah.
How many now?
Close to 4,000 children.
Unbelievable.
And we also have my youngest, who's now 25, started Christmas in the City in New York City. Last year was the first year that they had it at PS 188. That's Public School 188. And they had about 200 kids, children last year.
So that is staggering. And so now you've opened this up, though, because that party is so special. You opened it up the day before for people to come in, you know, sort of the non-donation part of it, for people to come in for $20. They can show up on December 21st from 11 to 4 at the Boston Convention Center and enjoy the day, and that donation goes right to Christmas in the City, correct?
Absolutely. So they get to go bring their kids in, something for them to do. You know, when the kids are all getting cranky, it's right before Christmas. They get to go on, you know, they get exhausted. They go on Ferris wheels, merry-go-rounds. They have all kinds of activities for them, like a little mini amusement park on a Saturday before Christmas.
So what's been the best part? Like, what if there's one little thing that you find most rewarding? I mentioned before about how you get the Christmas list from some of the kids and try and fulfill and match a gift that they've, you know, asked for from Santa. And people don't understand that there's kids who don't go through Christmas, don't know what it's like to write out a list for Santa and actually get those gifts. Most kids don't know what that is. But you go around, you get the list from these kids, and you try as best as you can to match something on their list. And when they show up for that party, they have that toy. I thought that was the sweetest little detail here for the things that you do. Is there something that stands out to you?
So it's really all about, for Jake and I, about broken promises. Like, these kids are going from shelter. They don't know where they're going to be next. And promises just aren't kept for them. So this kind of assures a kid that, oh, gee, I want this toy, and they're going to get it. And we try our hardest. And mostly the kids leave happy. Literally 4,000 kids leave happy and exhausted after the day. But we give them a gift that they ask for. It's a promise unbroken. That's all it is. And even to this day, when we have people grown from 30 years ago, they remember if they went to 1 year to that party, it stands out in their mind.
So is there one thing, if people want to donate, toys, money, what do you need the most?
Well, money is great because we can buy toys. They can go on our website, christmasinthecity.org, and order toys, and they'll come in, and they'll go right to Kennedy Brothers Physical Therapy. If they just want to buy a toy from our list, we will match it with a kid who said, oh, I want that toy. So if it's a play school toy or a learning toy or umbrella stroller, if it comes in, then we'll say that child or that infant gets that toy, and we actually match it to what the kid wants.
So Mike mentioned this earlier as well, that, I mean, we put an emphasis on the kids. I think we all do, right, especially those of us who are parents. But there are some of the parents of these kids, too, have had hard lives, and there's stuff that you have for them at the actual day.
So the actual day is just a great day. We have so many volunteers, and we'll say to a parent, here, we'll take your child. You go and have a good time. Have a cup of coffee. Eat something. Go in the – these young kids want to go into an amusement park. So – those days are great for the parents, too. It's just one day that they're taken care of.
And I know Jake has mentioned in the past, like, don't you have, like, a salon in there or something like that where people get their hair and nails
done? We have a salon.
Amazing.
We actually have flu shots, so I feel bad for the kids. But we have flu shots. We have people doing dentistry.
We have Blue Man Group.
Blue Man Group has come, and they do this wonderful entertainment. The Tufts Dental School comes, and we do sealers on the kids.
It's amazing.
What else? Like, things like that.
We have the Zoo New England. We have a ton of different vendors that come around that the kids can walk around and and actually interact with a whole bunch of things.
Okay, so folks, there's just a lot of different ways to donate. The wreath auction is tonight here at the Seaport Hotel. You can come in. It's $30 at the door, $10 for kids. That all goes to Christmas in the City. You can bid on auction items that they have here. You can bid on our online auction that's going on right now on 985thesportshub.com. You can just come by during our show. We'll be here till 6:30, drop off toy or monetary donations. We will be Felger and Maz at the Newberry Comics location at the Natick Mall, again on Saturday from 1 to 3. We do that every year. We're looking forward to that. So that's how we can donate here. Let's take this time for a personal note. You may notice Jake has not said as much as he usually does. Jake usually talks our face off. Last month, Jake and all of us, and I just found out today, got some bad news. And so maybe we should just explain it to the people or let them know you got a diagnosis of ALS in November. And so, you know, when I heard about it, my heart broke. And then I heard you ran 20 miles today. And I say, you know, what's up with that, Sparky?
And so just the good news is that one of our sons is an ALS researcher. He's a doctor at UMass, and he's just doing everything we can to get him into a trial. And his name is Dr. Zach Kennedy. And he's the answer person for everyone. So we're all calling him, and we're just moving on in a very positive light.
The research is so promising, and we're extremely optimistic. Right now, it's only affecting my speech. So mentally, I'm fine. Physically, I'm fine. And stuff like that.
So I just get to talk for him.
That is.
That probably helps the marriage, actually.
I was going to say. Right?
She's talked for me for 30 years.
Yeah.
40.
So that is, you know, I mean, that's, I don't know if interesting is the right word, but you ran 20 miles today, Jake.
Yeah.
And the thoughts are the same. It's affecting your voice.
It's called BOMA. It affects your speech first. Sometimes you're swallowing. Sometimes you're eating, and as opposed to other people, it affects their feet, their hands, and it works their way up.
More of the motor skills with some
right.
other people.
Well, I just want to say to you what I said earlier a couple different times. The world needs people like you guys, and that's why that news to me was so devastating, because the world does need guys like Jake Kennedy, because none of us do what we should do for other people and help other people, and I know I don't, and I know most of us don't. And you guys do, and you always have. And so, you know, that's why I think makes this meaningful to me anyway, and why that news hit home to me. And, you know, we're all thinking of you, Jake, and praying for you, and thoughts and love and all of that.
Yeah, let me just add, okay, because Mike knows you better than I do. But I mean this from the bottom of my heart. This thing that you have created is an inspiration to people. So continue being an inspiration to people.
Right.
We really will.
And we have all the volunteers. So everybody, you know, we couldn't do it on our own. We have thousands and thousands of volunteers, you guys helping us raise money, everyone who comes into the clinic. You know, we can't do it by ourselves. So all these people, we have no paid employees. So all these people that are so dedicated to make this beautiful event go has made it go for 30 years.
30 years.
Amazing.
You guys should be very proud of that.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
30 years and still growing, right? Going to other cities. Like you said, right. New York now.
New York, exactly.
You can have more kids and put them in other cities.
Exactly.
We get bigger every single year.
Incredible.
We add more things, more excitement. And we so send in the money, because money's always great.
Then on Monday, we take care of impoverished children. So we take care of close to 13,000 kids.
So we have Monday is called Monday Mania. People have pre-registered. We have companies that come in. They walk the parents through. They pick their gifts for Christmas. So they get to have a Christmas and have gifts.
So it's a Monday after the event.
It's called Monday Mania, yeah.
Okay.
And they got clothing from Charles River
Apparel has just donated a ton of stuff. So kids get jackets. Adults get jackets and socks and all kinds of great things.
Okay, folks. So everything we've just talked about is on the website, christmasinthecity.org. Thank you guys for coming by. Thank you for everything that you do. And we'll be seeing you all day today.
Yep. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yep, and best of luck going forward.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Quick break. We'll be back with more here on Felger and Maz.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Hey, it's Maz and Felger, that time of year.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.